Turn with me tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter number 22, beginning in verse number 1. As always, we desire your prayers tonight that God would have his way, God would touch hearts, and God would give us the liberty and the words that need to be said. We understand tonight that it's not about us, but it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. You stand, if you're able tonight, and you pray for us. Matthew chapter 22, and beginning in verse number 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment, and he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. As we look into this parable, we find that it tells of God's dealing with Israel, that God has called them, but they have refused. They rejected his appeal, and they have killed the servants, which would be the prophets, and that now they have rejected the Son. That the word of God said that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And that because of their actions, that we find in verse 7, that at that time it was prophetic. But we know now that the army was sent 70 A.D. and Jerusalem was destroyed. And I want you to notice tonight in verse number 3 that the word of God said that he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden, and they would not come. Then again in verse number 4, again, he sent forth other servants, telling them which are bidden. So there are two invitations. But I want you to look in verse number 8. We find that there is a third invitation. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. So again tonight we say that it is that third invitation. And that tells us tonight of the grace of the king. That the king's goodness was not quenched by the rejection of the first two invitations. I'm glad tonight that we're serving a graceful God. I'm glad tonight that he's a God of second, third, and fourth chances. I don't know how many times that he spoke to your heart. I don't know how many times you rejected God before you accepted Christ. Maybe you're sitting in this place tonight, sitting in rejection, that God has spoken to your heart by way of conviction. affliction, and you have turned God away time and time again. I want you to know tonight that God is a God of grace, and that God is a God of long suffering. But I want you to also know that there's a deadline out there, and that if you go too far and you push God away too many times, that there will come a time when God says that enough is enough. I mentioned on Monday night how that God spoke to my heart in that old-fashioned revival meeting, and that in running I ran the wrong way, that I went out the door instead of coming to the altar. But I'm glad that when I went out that God didn't give up on me. I'm glad, thank God, that He continued to work in my heart, and I'm glad that He didn't say that it was enough and let me die in my sin and go to hell. But I'm glad that He came again to where I was. Thank God. And I'm glad that He brought me up, that He had mercy on me. Thank God. And I want you to know tonight that the grace of God and the goodness of God is not quenched by rejection. Listen, we see here tonight in this text that God's call has been rejected by the Jews, and that the Lord Jesus, or that God turns to the Gentiles, and that they are described by societal standards. When the Word of God said that they went out and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests, and that those bad speak of folks that are of no moral character, and they have no moral standing. These are folks that are bad, and they know that they're bad. I mean, we're talking about the scourge of the earth. We're talking about the wicked in this world, and those that are good, the Bible speaks about, they're those that are morally upright. But can I tell you, it doesn't matter if a person is wicked and wicked in sin, or if they're a good moral person, can I tell you they've got the same standing before God, that they are sinners in need of a Savior. Listen, once you get saved, that moral conduct is essential. But before you get saved, it doesn't matter who we are. We're all sinners in need of a Savior, and that there is a need of repentance and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul said in Galatians that the scripture hath concluded all under sin. We're reminded in Romans that there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Can I tell you tonight, it doesn't matter. Listen, which side of the tracks you come from. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you're on now. It doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter your bank account. Without Jesus Christ, you're lost without God. Without the blood has been applied. Listen, you're a sinner destined for an eternity in the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Can I say that right now in God's sight, there are none good, that all are sinners, that the human goodness cannot commend one to God's favor. It doesn't matter what you do. Listen, keeping of ordinances and rituals, you can burn your candles. I mean, you can do everything that religion requires you to do, and you'll die in your sin. Because neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, he that tried to climb up some other way, the same is as a thief and a robber. We cannot commend ourselves to God because there's nothing good that we can do. And the worst of this world are just like the best. And that we are only welcome through the blood. Amen. Thank God it still takes the blood. blood. Amen. Notice in verse number 9 and verse number 10, we'll not reread them, but the offer is made to them as they were. Thank God, listen, the gospel deals with men as sinful men. God doesn't ask folks to change before he'll save them.
That's right.
Oh no, God says you come as you are and I'll do the saving and everything will take care of itself. I read the story of a preacher some years ago that went up in Upper East Tennessee, and they were up in that part of the country. There was an old moonshiner well known to everybody. I mean, they all knew him, and several folks had tried to win him to the Lord, but he just wouldn't give it up. And this other preacher, this new preacher there, he went up to visit with him, sit down and talk with him. And the old moonshiner told the preacher, said, "Listen, preacher, I said, you're not the first one that's come and had a conversation with me. I said, I know what you've got to say, and I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I need to be saved. But times are hard, and I just can't give up making this moonshine and selling this liquor because it's the only means and the only way I've got of providing for my family." The preacher looked at him and said, "Listen, let me tell you right now, you do not have to quit making moonshine and quit selling it in order to get saved." The old moonshiner's eyes got real big and he said, "Are you telling me that I can be saved without quitting all this?" He said, "That's exactly what I'm saying, that you don't have to quit making it, you don't have to quit drinking it, you don't have to quit selling it in order to be saved." They talked a little while longer and the old moonshiner fell on his face and he got saved by the grace of God. Can I tell you, the transformation was so great that he quit making moonshine, that he quit drinking moonshine, and that he quit selling the moonshine. Hey, thank God. I'm glad it's not what we can do for God, but I'm glad tonight that it's what God can do for us. I'm glad that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, created unto good works. I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. Hey, thank God, I may not be all I ought to be, but neither am I all that I'm going to be. Hey, thank God. I'm glad that God can reach way down, down in that miry clay. And it doesn't matter how filthy you are. It doesn't matter where you find yourself in sin. I'm telling you, the blood is sufficient. He dealt with them as they were. They were sinners, but he didn't ask them to change in order to give them a wedding garment. I want you to notice some things tonight. Verse number 11. "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He was speechless." Verse number 12, "And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless." In other words, he could offer no excuse. There was no answer that he could give that was satisfactory to the question. Because, listen, it's like a lot of folks do today. They have excuses for why that they're not saved. They got excuses for why they won't believe the gospel. They'll tell you they don't have enough time. Well, that doesn't work because others have found enough time. Yeah. They'll say that they'll claim ignorance, but others knew how to get the robe. Yeah. Others knew how to get saved. Listen, I've got a nephew. He's about 16 now, but he's got autism. And he still goes to public school. When he was younger, he was a lot worse. And when he was about 12, 13 years old, I prayed for him, but I didn't know that if he was going to need to be saved or not. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, because of his mental capacity. And he come to Bible school. My sister brings him to Bible school. And one night after Bible school, she said, "Here, he needs to talk to you." And I really didn't know how to talk to him. Listen, we sat down on the seat, and here this young man, a man is, I mean, he's brilliant. He's just autism. Listen, he's gotten a lack of social skills. I didn't know of his understanding. And I tried to talk to him. Listen, with his understanding, after a while, I didn't know what else to do. And I've never done this before. And I've never done it since. Listen, I said, "Here." I said, "You repeat after me." Now listen, the only time, and I felt directed by the Holy Ghost of God, we said, sat there and I said, you pray this. I said, you tell God this and you say this to God. Listen, we prayed and I said, amen. And he just got right up. I said, what's the matter? Where are you going? I said, is it fixed? He said, yeah, everything's all right. Listen, you can't claim ignorance because the Holy Ghost of God can give the instruction and the wisdom and the understanding that's needed to be saved.
Amen.
He's still saved today. Of course, if you've ever been saved, you stay saved. They say there's not enough time. They'll claim ignorance or they'll claim poverty. Maybe that's what they did in our text. They claim poverty. But you understand that the king's bounty was inexhaustible.
Thank you, Lord.
It didn't matter whether they had anything or not. It was the king's provision.
Amen.
Woo! Thank God. When I came as a beggar. I didn't have anything to offer. Can I tell you, if you're saved tonight, you came the same way I did. You didn't have anything. If you're here tonight and you're lost without God, there's no use you claiming you got anything, because you don't. You're a beggar like the rest of us. But I'm glad, thank God, the king's provision is inexhaustible. I'm glad, thank God, that where sin abounded, that grace did much more abound. Hey, thank God. I'm glad. I thank God that there is forgiveness in the eyes of God.
Amen.
What about that? Thank God his presence without the garment was an insult to the king. You notice in verse number 11 and verse number 12, you find the same three-letter word of not. Verse number 11, when he had not on a wedding garment, that means that was just an observation. Somebody was looking, said he don't have a wedding garment on. It was just a statement. But in verse number 12, when the question is asked, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? He was speechless. That little word not there suggests that it's not just a fact. But it suggests the idea that he came in there without a wedding garment of his own will. That it was out of a spirit of rebellion. It was an intentional act that he came in there without a wedding garment. Do you know what happened to him? He was cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, I'm going to tell you, them that have not had the change of raiment, them that have not had the garment of salvation, are an offense to God. But as long as they're in this life and breath and God hadn't withdrawn from them, there is opportunity for salvation. But I want you to know tonight that when you draw that last breath and you close your eyes in death, being an offense to God, you will be cast into outer darkness because you have despised the king's provision. You have rejected what God has provided himself in the person of his son on an old rugged cross. Thank God, some 2,000 years ago, when the Lord Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sin. Amen. So he asked him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And there's some things that suggests. And I'll give them to you briefly and we'll go home. First of all, it suggests nakedness. And that nakedness in the Word of God is associated with sin.
Amen.
If you look in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 7, when Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and they made themselves aprons. What about a couple chapters later, after that the flood was over and Noah and his family had, listen, come off the ark, built that altar, and Noah began to grow them grapes, and he made that wine, and he got drunk, and that he was naked in his tent. Listen, the nakedness associated with sin. In Exodus 32, when Moses came down from the mount, listen, when he had received the commandments from God, and God said, listen, he said, you need to get down there. They've lost their mind. They had built that, made that idol. And when Moses got down there, they were naked in their sin while they were worshiping that false god, that golden calf. I'm saying that nakedness is associated with sin. What about that that demoniac in Luke 8, Mark 5. Listen. Bible said that he wear no clothes, had no clothes, that he was naked. This man that tried to bind up with fetters and chains, but he kept breaking them, and he made his living among the tombs. And he was naked until the Lord came and touched him. And the Bible said they found him clothes, sitting, and in his right mind. If some of these folks would get saved, they'd put some clothes on. Listen, because nakedness is associated with sin.
It always is.
What about the man that left Jerusalem going down to Jericho and fell among thieves, and they stripped him?
Yeah.
Took all his clothes, left him naked, left him half dead. That pictures man's helpless condition after the work of Satan. So here's a man that came in without a wedding garment, and it suggests that nakedness. But then it also suggests there is a man-made garment. Again, in Genesis 3 and verse number 7, when they saw that they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I mean, listen, that pictures. We see a lot of these artist drawings. And most often, if you see one of Adam and Eve in the garden, their idea of Adam and Eve in the garden, they've always got the fig leaves. About every time you find them, they've got the fig leaves. That's because the world takes care and the world promotes Satan's works. The fig leaves, listen, picture themselves. They were plucked from the parent stem and death had set in. Even though for a time when they had been plucked and they'd been made that little garment, they were glossy and beautiful, but soon they were going to wither and die. Listen, and they would be gone. It would not last. It would not continue to hide that nakedness. That's the idea of everything other than the blood of Jesus Christ. Those that are trying to deal with their sin and their sinfulness by their works or anything else, it's going to dry up and die, and it cannot provide a covering, a lasting covering. There's only one thing that'll do that.
Only one.
And that's the blood of the Lord Jesus. Let me say this tonight. Covering of sin is an Old Testament doctrine. Because they had to continually bring those sacrifices because the blood of the bulls and goats couldn't take away sin. So all that it did was put a covering on their sin. And it withheld the judgment of God because all of them Old Testament sacrifices pointed forward to a day when Jesus was going to Calvary.
Amen, brother.
I'm glad I'm not on the other side of the cross. I'm glad that tonight before we could gather that we didn't have to bring a sacrifice and offer the blood. My sin, when I got saved, if you're saved tonight, your sin was not covered.
No,
your sin was washed away. There's a big difference.
Yes.
If it's covered, it's still there. But if it's been washed away, it's gone. Hey, thank God. And if you read over there in 1 Corinthians, you'll find out that there's not even a stain left. No, thank God. I don't care what these products say about being the best cleansing agent. The best one is the blood. Because it can wash away the sin.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Thank God. I'm glad He washed me and He made me clean. Thank God. It wasn't enough to just make them fit for God's presence. I mean, it just didn't work. Them fig leaves just wasn't enough. Listen, when they heard God, they still hid themselves because they still felt naked.
Still.
In the fig leaves.
Still.
But that changed when God provided the coats of skins, which implies the shedding of the blood.
Yes.
Something had to die for them to be covered. Thank God, I'm glad somebody died for my sin to be washed away.
Thank you.
Oh, listen. Isaiah 64, 6 said, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Is that where it is? Isaiah 64. Those rags, all of our righteousness, filthy rags in the sight of God. These folks are not trusting in the rags of self-righteousness.
Right. Yeah.
What Paul say, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. But then he also mentioned the fact that they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Folks are trying to hide or cover themselves in the rags of self-righteousness. Right. Remember Luke 18, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. That Pharisee began to inform God how good he was. Yes, Lord, he was. I'm just so wonderful. Lord, I'm the best one you got here. I'm not like all these other people. I'm not like that publican standing over there. Mm-hmm. He said, I pay tithes of all that I fast twice in the week. I'm just so wonderful. I'm so good. He was depending on the rags of his own self-righteousness.
Why, yes, sir, brother.
That publican standing afar off wouldn't even so much as lift up his eyes, but he smote on his breast, said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The word of God said that publican went home more justified than the Pharisee. That word justified means saved. He is saved. He went home saved. Why? Because he acknowledged his sinfulness. And he realized that he had no righteousness and nothing to bargain with God. And he just presented himself to God as he was, and God saved him. What about that?
Amen.
Thank God some are hiding behind the rags of self-righteousness. Others behind the rags of religion. Paul was like that before he got saved.
Yeah, he was.
He was depending on his self-righteousness and his religion. Talked about how wonderful he was. And he was going places in that Pharisee religion. But after he got saved, he said, I count all them things but dung. That was worthless. It was waste. And it was contrary to the will of God. Then there's some that are hiding behind the rags of their riches. Depend upon what they got and what they can give. You know, Christmas season, holiday season coming up, and folks will fill the lines at the food pantries and feeding the poor, trying to make themselves look good and commend themselves to God. If you do that, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those folks. That's the only time of year they'll do anything like that. And it's to make them... How do you think the Catholic Church got rich?
Yes, sir.
Don't quit on me.
Yes, sir.
They created the doctrine of purgatory.
Yeah.
And the purchasing of indulgences.
Uh-huh. That's it.
Counting on riches, taking money from folks and telling them if they give enough money that they could get their loved one to a better part of hell, or out of hell into purgatory, or out of purgatory if they paid enough they could get them to heaven.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't find that in God's Word.
Nowhere.
That's not in the Word of God.
That's right.
Listen. These that he's talking about, these, the both good and bad, these were outcasts and the dirge of society. What could they bring? What could they offer? Nothing. Me and you don't have anything to offer either.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you're lost without God, you've got nothing to offer God.
Nothing.
It's not on what you can bring or what you can do, but it's what he's already done.
Already done.
All because of what he already done. Then it also reminds us or suggests that there is a God-given garment. The wedding garment was provided by the king. It was just simply a gift. There was no requirement and there was no charge. Doesn't Isaiah 55 say, come without money, come without price? Brother Enoch, the little redheaded boy that sung last night, sung the song and talked about don't worry about the cost. Jesus done took care of it.
Right. Yes.
Already paid in full. When God made those coats of skin over in Genesis 3 and 21, provide those coats of skin, it clothed them. You understand that God had absolutely nothing to do with them fig leaves. And that man had absolutely nothing to do with the coats of skin.
True.
Amen. It's not what man does that brings salvation. It's not what man does that gets us to heaven.
No.
But it's simply what Jesus did.
All him.
That man without the wedding garment despised the king's provision. Isaiah 61 and 10 talks about that garment of salvation. That man without the wedding garment said, I'm good enough. What I have is good enough.
Mm-mm.
But then Isaiah 61 talks about that garment of salvation.
Yes.
God said, no, you're not. The king said, no, you're not. And God says to the sinner, you're not good enough.
Mm-mm.
But I have provided.
Yes, he has.
What did the songwriter say? Two coats were before me, an old and a new. I could have either, But what must I do? Lay off the old coat and put on the new. Can I tell you tonight that if you're not saved by the grace of God and you're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, you're despising the provision that God has made for your soul.
Already.
And for your salvation. Because in not accepting, you are rejecting. It's not where you can be in a static sense. It's not in a way where you can be somewhere in the middle. If you don't accept Christ, then you reject Christ by your not accepting. So tonight, the choice is each individual's, each person's. I can't get saved for you. You can't get saved for me. I'm glad my children are saved, but their salvation had nothing to do with mine. They had to believe on their own. They had to repent of their own sin. So what are you going to do tonight? Let me ask you, what you wearing? Are you wearing the rags of self-righteousness or the rags of religion or riches? Or have you been clothed with the garments of salvation?
Yes.
It's up to you tonight. Notice the last part of these verses tonight. Yeah. He saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? He was speechless. You know, I see and hear these people say that when I get to heaven, they're talking about they're lost. And they say, I'm going to tell God this, and I'm going to remind God of this. I don't believe you'll get a word in. You'll be in awe on your face before God. Every time I see where an angel appeared, much less God, they fell on their face.
Yes, sir.
And the sinner that goes before God in judgment will be on their face before God.
Amen.
Every knee bow, every tongue confess. Isn't that right? Amen. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That has a sense of finality to it. It's eternity, but it has a sense of finality. And by that I mean there's no getting out. There's no coming back. This is the dressing room, if you will. This is the dressing place. You've got to have that garment of salvation before you leave this world.
Yes, sir.
Before death comes, you've got to be saved. It's not what I've done. It's not what you could do, but it's what it's the Lord Jesus Christ and what He is able to do. I'm glad that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to die for old sinners and take our place.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Because it should have been all of us that were dying
right.
That day,
all
that were suffering.
Right.
But He took our place.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, He suffered at the hands of a holy God, a wicked devil, and all the world, so you and I could be saved, shed His blood. I'd ask Him to come tonight and get a song of invitation. I'd like to go to the Lord in a word of prayer as they come. I would invite you to come. Tonight, I don't know where you stand with God. I don't know what you need. I'm just thankful that God let me say something tonight. I hope it's touched your heart.
Thank you, Lord.
And if you're in this place tonight and you don't know the Lord, you don't have that garment of salvation, I would plead with you and beg with you to come while you can, that you'd come while there's time, because this thing's quickly coming to a close. And I'm not talking about this service. I'm talking about this age.
Yes.
That Jesus is coming
quickly.
Soon. And I hope that you'll come. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the liberty and the grace.
Thank you
for your precious word tonight, God. Lord, for giving us that needed to be said. And I pray that you'd take it, God, that you'd use it and you'd speak to hearts. God, that one that may be in this place that don't know you, Lord, help them to come. Let them come right now. God, maybe it's the fact that others that are saved need to be reminded. God, and get a vision, get a burden for others. God, that's what revival is all about, is getting our hearts in tune with God and getting that vision and that burden. I pray, God, touch every heart as you will in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand while they sing tonight, how about you come? How about you obey the Lord tonight? Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation.